You are now listening to Jess's Lit on CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the unceded territories of the Musqueam people at the University of British Columbia. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Jess's Lit. We started a little later than usual because of the traffic. I was not expecting this much of a traffic issue going on during my commute here. But yeah, even the time, it seemed to me that it was pretty quiet this morning. I checked the buses and everything was good. And then right when I got on the bus, right in front of me is a construction site with some sort of accident. And that killed about 10 minutes. More than 10 minutes, at least 20 minutes, I think. I was just standing, just parked, and just waiting for the stuff on the roads to clear up. And then as soon as I went on the SkyTrain, the SkyTrain was also delayed. So a hell of a morning for me today, but managed to be only about 10 minutes late. I was expecting at least 15 to 20 minutes, but the bus kind of caught speed as soon as the bus at the Commercial Broadway station kind of caught fire, and we stormed our way through to campus to the studio. I hope everyone's doing well. The snow has finally melted, but the rain has returned. I do not like the rain at all, but at least the snow's gone. Last week, due to personal reasons, I did not air live, but I am back today. A simple day today. We're just going to be reading some poems, as usual. I might not play some songs because I was a little late, and so I do want to get some of the readings done. And so I think that's it for today. Any exciting news for me? Let me think. I did have a really weird dream a couple days ago, and I never remember dreams, but for some reason, I think it was 2 days ago. Yeah, 2 days ago, 17, I think on the 16th of February, I just woke up all of a sudden in the middle of the night because I dreamed about a volcano that was, in the dream at least, it was literally beside my house, and it erupted. Crazy. It was crazy. The whole world was shaking. And so, yeah, that's what I dreamed of. I don't remember anything that happened before or after. All I remember is there was a volcano in the vicinity of where I was at, and it just exploded with scorching lava. And I don't know what that means, but it was cool. You know what? Before we get started, let me search this up. Dreams of volcanoes? I'm not sure what this means because, you know, a lot of people around me, they believe in these, they believe in superstitions and these meanings of certain things. But for me, I never really was persuaded from the beginning. But you know what? Just for fun, let's search up what this means. Dreams of volcanoes. Well, guys, it says here, volcano dreams could be expressions of anxiety and warning against extreme emotions, but they can also be a powerful symbol of potential and transformation. Interesting. Well, to be honest with you guys, I have been feeling a bit of anxiety because of my just busy life I have with work and school and assignments and all that, but it wasn't to the point of extremity, and I don't think I've been feeling a lot of extreme emotions, so I'll just, I guess, take the second part, potential for transformation, a powerful symbol of potential and transformation. You know, this is cool, actually. This was from Wellbeing Magazine, but let me see if I could find another one. Dreamdictionary.org. Here we go. Volcano dream meaning. Wonder what this says. So quote unquote, a volcano is an opening in the Earth's surface. Yada yada yada. So what would a volcano be symbolic in my dreams? A volcano is riddled with metaphoric symbolism that encourages the dreamer to explore what might be bubbling below the surface. When the pressure builds from underneath the surface, it represents what is unknown to you that poses a potential threat. Okay, okay, this is interesting. It's similar to what we just read before, but... and also to mention, I do have a runny nose. I think it's because of the cold weather, but just bear with me there. And here it also says, any sort of natural disasters that occurs in your dreams, such as earthquakes, wildfires, tsunamis, or hurricanes, contains elements of change within the individual. Okay. Now, these are just read, quote-unquote, from dreamdictionary.org. So, huh, I didn't even know. There's a website, literally, that has everything related to dreams, hence Dream Dictionary. Volcano symbolism, conscious shift, repressed anger, stress. Oh, here we go again. Okay. Erupting sexual urges. That's interesting. Personal transformation. Okay. I guess I fall into the personal transformation, I guess. I mean, I do have the tendency to kind of repress emotions. It is something that I have been constantly working on. So maybe that's kind of hitting its toll here, but yeah, running from erupting. No, I wasn't running from it. I was just looking at it. Here it is, lava. Okay, I did see lava. I do remember seeing lava just pour out through the volcano. And again, quote-unquote, dreaming of lava brings your attention to heated emotions, a long, slow burn and release. Okay. Alternatively, lava could be seen as a symbol of transformation or healing, as the old is covered by the new. Huh, okay. Maybe there is something beneath me, beneath the surface of my emotional being, where it's trying to escape that I'm not aware of. But anyways, yeah, we kind of went into a rabbit hole of volcano dreams, but that's something cool that happened. I also have been, for some reason, addicted to online shopping. I never used to online shop, but I kind of fell into the hole where I was just looking at online shopping sites for hours on end. I did order some stuff, but they just did not match my liking when I actually received them. And so I do have to go and return a couple products after the show. But other than that, I've just been relaxing. Haven't been reading as much and writing as much as I wanted to, but, you know, I'm not going to force it. I'll just kind of get into it when I feel like I would. And one of my friends bought Pride and Prejudice and The Great Gatsby because of my recommendations, I believe. And so I'm excited for her to delve into those works, because those two works I highly recommend to everyone. But that's basically it. Basically how my week is going. I hope everyone's reading break is going well. We have up until this weekend of no school, and then we are right back into the semester. But we're just going to head into some readings after the ads, PSAs, and show promos. And so we'll just get into the readings after this. So sit tight, and we'll be back right after this. Here we go.
Comfortable state of sleep, and then have a friend or associate play the audio.
I think you should straighten up a little bit. I think you should. I think you know. You should look at yourself in the mirror sometimes and say, "Look, what am I doing? Why am I this way?" You need to kick in the ass once in a while.
Fridays from 2 o'clock to 3:30 p.m., it's the Bethy Creston Presents radio show. It's CITR's 24 hours of radio art in a snack-sized format. Digital music, harsh electronics, dark ambient, drone, spoken word, cut-up, collage, and general Creston movement. Bethy Creston Presents, Friday at 2 o'clock on CITR FM 101.9. Streaming at theplayer.citr.ca.
Tune in to Canada Post Rock with your host, P-Bone, where he plays the best in post-rock, experimental, electronic, noise, and anything he can put the word post in front of. Fridays, 7:30 to 9 p.m., only on CITR 101.9 FM. I mean, if you had a radio show, P-Bone would probably listen to your show, so...
Either you've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money, the one you love has deserted you, that makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue. Right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man. Good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
We are UBC Electronica, and we love electronic music such as
Run for Them Life. When I step into the jungle, I get
we offer DJ workshops, open decks, pop-up parties, and more. Follow our socials such as Instagram, Discord, or join us through email, ubcelectronica@gmail.com.
Devin Cole is a woman in total control. Unafraid and unashamed, Cole has burst onto the scene through her expertly crafted feminist pop anthems, packaging social truths into repeat-worthy bops. This is the era of fempop, and Devin Cole is an artist you don't want to miss. Join Devin Cole on her Two Shades Blonder tour and see her in Vancouver at the Biltmore Cabaret on March 16th. To find out more and get your tickets, visit admitone.com. That's admitone.com. I should be swimming, but
if you enjoy bluegrass and old-time music, please join up and become a member of the Bluegrass Music Association of Canada, the BMAC. With your membership, you'll receive a quarterly full-color Bluegrass Canada magazine, as well as have access to the Bluegrass Canada website. Your membership will also allow you to contribute to the nomination process of the Canadian Bluegrass Music Hall of Fame. Help BMAC promote bluegrass artists with up-to-date information, including band members, performance locations, and helpful advice for bands wishing to travel to the USA. And finally, it will allow you to access information for festivals and events across Canada, bluegrass radio listings, organization partnerships, and a resource library for all things bluegrass. To learn more, log on to bluegrasscanada.org or call Mike Higgins at membership at 905-567-4708.
Looking for an audioscape to put your mind at ease? Landscapes by Dune is a musical journey through sampling and field recording. From the busy streets of Toronto to BC's picturesque landscapes, the Belgian artist recorded an array of sounds during his travels across Canada. Landscapes will be released on Pop Guitari Records Bandcamp on December 8th and will be available on all streaming platforms on December 15th. For more information, check out at Dune as Dune on Facebook, Instagram, and SoundCloud.
Welcome back to Jess is Lit. Those are some ads, show promos, and PSAs. Now, we will get into the readings. We're going to continue the poetry collection called The True Meaning of Life by Kenneth O'D. And so, we left off just before the poem The Running Time. And so we finished off with Body, Spirit, and Soul the last episode. And so we will start from Running Time. Here we go. The cheetah runs the fastest. No doubts, time is still the best. Everything is wrongly moving fast. Future now lies behind the past. Weather losing track of its forecast. Rainbow colors, similar contrast. To suicide, our hearts we've cast. In our thoughts, we become outcasts. In the evening comes our breakfast. To artificial creations, we steadfast. No more honor to first things. We need more hours in a haste. Lost loving to lust. Lost memories to dust. Interesting. Okay. We will move on to our next one. The Forbidden Fruit. Really cool title here. Let's give this one a read. Cloud darkened by thunderstorms. Upon nature, her anger formed. The atmosphere came together. In pleasure, the world became wet. Mighty drops of rain hit the roof, then strolls down to the window. Windows covered with fine linen. As cold spreads in the dwelling, Eden was beautifully dressed. Eve was beautifully undressed. Eyes fixed in eyes. Hands locked in hands. Lips locked in lips. Breath made warm the cold. Breath seized by the moment. Left to right, the fruit dangles. Salivation couldn't digest the urge. Heat strolls down and hits the nipples. Tongue perched like flies. Taste of honey rather than sweat. The tree of life, as both branches were spread. A warm meal served cold. Beautiful as it seems. Righteousness became a sin. Blood on the dance floor. Perfection is flawed. Hunger for death. Satisfaction of life. A healthy fruit for a dying stomach. An angelic bit. A demonic flavor. Then comes the devil. There goes Eve. The fruit was seen by sin. And we became blind for seeing. This is a beautiful poem. I really like this poem. And after reading this, it reminds me of a poem that I wrote. I guess you could say it's an Insta poem, where it's a very short poem with a couple lines. But it reminds me of this poem that I wrote many months ago. And it's called Fallen Fruit. And it goes like this. The apple's been bit, a sin runs down your bloody neck. What now? Now, it's a very short poem, but I felt like it was very compelling. But it reminds me of this because it involves the biblical corpus context. And I love the wordplay here and the diction here. Hold on, let me see here. In the final stanza, then comes the devil. The comes is in a different spelling. And it's in a spelling where it conveys the meaning of male ejaculation. And so it's a very deep poem here. The devil's release. The demonic flavor of release is really compelling here. And perfection, there's a lot of juxtapositions here as well. Perfection is flawed. There was another one. Breath made warm the cold. The warm meal served cold. I really like this poem. There's a lot of hidden meanings here. A As cold spreads in the dwelling, Eden was beautifully dressed, Eve was beautifully undressed. While eyes were fixed in eyes, hands were locked in hands, and lips were locked in lips. And yet, because of our sins, the fruit was seen by our sin, and we became blind for the act of seeing. Beautiful. Okay. Blood on the dance floor. Good choice of words there. An angelic bit. Salivation couldn't digest the urge. Heat strolls down and hits the nipples, tongue perched like flies. Just love the way how the words are just beautifully placed in perfect form. Cloud darkened by thunderstorms. Yeah, just everything about this was just great. Her next poem is called The Human Race. The human race is in danger. At home, we're all strangers, that we do not choose what to be or what to refuse. We forget in remembrance, in emergency. We hate the ambulance. We are living to die. We are living to live. Or we are dying to live. The catastrophe is amusing. Women have hate to gossip. The Barton now belongs to men. Time has failed to judge. The Barton now belongs to humans. Children are now adults. As elders forget their roles, devil has become a god. As false prophets neglect their souls, our hearts are stoned. Our minds drowning in liquid, believe me, in reality or illusion, that we no longer see a sky. The cloud has taken ownership. The moon no longer spotlights. Crime is now our stage light. Shooting stars have been shot. In funerals, we live our days. In laughter, the dead cries. In tears, the living jubilates. The alarm has been employed. The cock has now lost its job. No, the birds no longer sings. The mosquitoes raps along. We work to break down. A 21st century slavery. We love to break hearts. A 21st century bravery. The time is upside down. Our ways are crucified. We run to destruction. For in pain lies our joy. You know, this is a really cool poem here as well, because it reminds me of a book called Notes from Underground by Fyodor Dostoevsky. And the last several lines remind me of the book, because let me give you a breakdown. The quote here, the line here, we work to break down. And also here the line, we love to break hearts. Another line, the last two lines here, it says, we run to destruction, for in pain lies our joy, is really compelling. These four lines that I just mentioned here reminds me of the book Notes from Underground. And it basically talks about how humans, if we are, I can't quote exactly from the book, but it was along the lines of, if we were to give in all the cakes in the world, we would indulge in them and find chaos willingly ourselves to just for our own sake. And so it basically means that if humans are given all the comfort, all the grapes, all the desserts, all the necessary and sufficient pleasures, we would willingly discard them and find all the other pain, chaos, and destructions there are, just to make our lives a little bit more entertaining. And Dostoevsky just wrote this perfectly in Notes from Underground, and displayed perfectly the tendencies of human innate emotions and capabilities and actions that we pursue if we were to have been given basically heaven. And so these four lines really hit heart to me, and it relates to the book Notes from Underground. And for those of you who have not read Notes for Underground. I highly recommend that book to everyone. And then after that book, I recommend Crime and Punishment, which is my favorite book. And then after that, we move on to The Brothers Karamazov, which is also one of my favorite books. And I have The Idiot from Dostoevsky in my bookshelf right now. I have White Nights. I think that's what you call it, White Nights, from Dostoevsky in my bookshelf. On standby for me to read. And so, yeah, just Dostoevsky made beautiful books. And so I highly recommend all these books to read. But you should always start with Notes from Underground, Crime and Punishment, and The Brothers Karamazov, in my opinion. And I was also told that by my English professor. And so, yeah, keep that in mind. But yeah, this poem, at least, was somewhat alarming to me, and it reminded me of Notes from Underground. Our next poem is called A Beautiful Tragedy. Again, I like the juxtaposition in the title. Let's give this one a read. The past echoes in baritone. Current times have gone sour. The bitterness of our existence, drooling over our daily dealings, struggling to smile. The excessive waste of emotions, nothing counts except the coins. Praying to God, still we idolize currencies, the betrayal of self-confidence, taking us back to our vomit. Growing in foolishness, as we run from our childhood of wisdom, where everything is done from the heart, with a little common sense to balance out morals, youthfulness, a gambling stage of life. We either sell our souls or buy a permanent scar. We became lost, then were found in nothingness. In pain do we lose the true meaning of life. Good poem here. I like the line, in pain do we lose the true meaning of life. But, you know what, I would also argue that the true meaning of life involves pain. And so, that I could argue to differ, but the whole poem basically talks about tragedies that occur in life, but through a beautiful lens. And so the lines here where we say the growing in foolishness is beautiful. I like this. And as we run from our childhood of wisdom. So this, I think, implies that wisdom is also manifest in childhood, yet we would run away from it because childhood is often seen as a time period of our lives where we are ignorant and just unexperienced, which is true. But if we look at it from a different perspective, wisdom could be also interpreted as the notion of being free and being fearless. And so this, I could also say that we run from our childhood of wisdom. This could mean that we run from the fearlessness and the... I lost my train of thought. What did I say before fearless? I completely lost it. But we run from our fearlessness of childhood and the ignorance is what I said. You know what? I'm not sure if you guys heard this quote, but for me, this quote that says ignorance is bliss. I know it's a little archaic. It's a little cliche, but it makes sense to have the saying ignorance is bliss. Sometimes to have not the knowledge could be a blessing. And so the fact that we run from our childhood wisdom of ignorance, the fact that we need to know everything, you know, that's not always a good thing. And from the fearlessness, you know, as we gain knowledge with the world and ourselves, we tend to become more fearful of the things around us. And so I think it's hitting out to the different emotions that we acquire as we get older. I do want to keep reading, but you know what? Thinking about it now, Chess is Lit cannot be fully formed without music. And so let me search up one music that I have been thinking about lately. It's from Willie Dunn. I've played his songs many times before in our shows, but for some reason I am feeling a little I am feeling a bit of Willie Dunn songs here and there. And so we'll give this one a listen to, because I enjoyed this song. Willie Dunn, The Ballad of Crowfoot is what I'll play for you guys, and then we'll come right back to more readings. Here we go.
Comes the spring, and it's warm thaw. Around your neck, the eagle claw. Upon your head, the buffalo horn. Today, a great new chief is born. So raise them fast towards the sun. A heart now beats, a life's begun. It's 1821. Today a Blackfoot soul is born. Crowfoot, Crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. The years have gone, the years have passed. Your heart is set, your soul is cast. You stand before the council fire. You have the mind and the desire of notions wise. You speak so well, and in brave deeds you do excel. And it's 1853, and you stand the chief of Confederacy. You are the leader, you are the chief. You stand against both the liar and thief. They trade race whiskey, steal your land, and they're coming in swift like the wind-blown sand. They shoot the buffalo, kill the game, and send their preachers into shame. And it's 1864, and you think of peace, and you think of war. Settler in more numbers, he takes whatever he encounters. You've seen the Sioux, all battered, beaten. They're all in rags, they haven't eaten. The Nez Perce were much the same. It seems like such a heartless game. And it's 1876, and the enemy's full of those death-dealing tricks. Today the treaty stands on the table. Will you sign it? Are you able? It offers food and protection to you. Really think they'll hold it true? It offers a reserve. Now isn't that grand? And in return you see all of your land. And it's 1800.
77, and you know the scales are so uneven. Crowfoot, crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. Well, the buffalo are slaughtered. There's nothing to eat. The government's late again with the meat, and your people are riddled with the white man's disease. And in the summer you're sick, and in the winter you freeze, and sometimes you wonder why you signed that day. But they broke the treaties themselves anyway, and it's 1889, and your Death Star explodes, and then it falls. Why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. The years have gone, the years have flown. The nation since has swiftly grown, but yet for the native, it's all the same. There's still the hardship, there's still the pain, there's still the hardship, there's still the strife. Its bitterness shines like a whetted knife. There's still the hypocrisy, and the hate was bad in the treaties. Is that the fate? We're all unhappy pawns in the government's game, and it's always the native who gets the blame. It's a problem which money can never lessen, and it's 1971. Crowfoot, crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow. Maybe one day you'll find honesty instead of the usual treachery. Perhaps one day the truth may prevail, and the warmth of love which it doesn't take. Crowfoot, crowfoot, why the tears? You've been a brave man for many years. Why the sadness? Why the sorrow? Maybe there'll be a better tomorrow.
That was Willie Dunn's The Ballad of Crowfoot. We have time for one more reading here, so we will get this one started now. It's called Evening Falls. Evening falls on daylight, one last candle to keep the night. Leaves dropping, longing for the ground, settling on its root, no place like home, a fair truth. Memories in the air, life in its flare. Memories buried in the future, death is only a seed to nurture. Colors fading in time, beauty decayed in rhyme. A downfall of resurrection, calmness glued with tension. The stars came together, but scattered in brightness. Seduction quietly lay in between cold and breeze, From the ashes of rust, hope was born. With mere nakedness, stems were clothed, a joyful mourning, a mournful celebration. Nature has died in life. Life is constantly alive in death. Night mixed with dawn, as moon embraces the sun. There's a lot of comparisons here, which I really love. And a lot of the poems, he compares a lot of things that are the opposites and yet unites them very, very nicely. And so this was a really good poem, Evening Falls. Now, we have come to the end of our show already. It seems like it ended really fast, although it kind of did because I started a little late, but we read some beautiful poems and got a hold of one song to play, and so that'll be it for today. Everyone have, all the students out there, or at least for UBC, I think, UBC students, I hope you guys have a good rest of your reading break. Get in as much sleep as you can. And for those of you guys who have assignments due during reading break, I hope that goes well as well. But I will see you guys again next week. And yeah, that's basically it. Thank you all for joining. I'm Justice Lit, and I will see you guys again soon. Thank you all. Bye-bye.